Okay. All right. We're going to look at the word earthquake. We've looked at the word earth. I think I think we get a really good picture to see that the earth identifies with the corporate body. And the earthquake must have something to do with the corporate body, we would suspect. One of the things that I just realized, I've been looking at the Great Tribulation, and I see also this great earthquake read about in Revelation chapter 11. And the Great Tribulation, you know, the Lord told us that in the world you will have tribulation, and then there's the mega tribulation, the Great Tribulation. And I think the real meaning of the mega tribulation or the Great Tribulation is the fact that it is universal, the fact that it is worldwide. That's why God refers to it as the mega mega tribulation. The tribulation in itself, I don't think, is any different than the tribulation that the body of Christ has been experiencing for the past 2,000 years, rejection of the true gospel. And the wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places, the rejection of the truth. But the fact that the picture or the idea that God gives us that there is a great tribulation identifies, I think, with the fact that it is universal, it is worldwide. And I think we get the same picture in this great earthquake. Now, I haven't tested and really looked at this great earthquake from the standpoint of looking at this word great, and I will do that and maybe make a note on that at the beginning of the next study, because I was looking at earthquake, and so I wasn't conscious of it, but I'm going to suspect at this point that the great earthquake is focusing in on the sixth trumpet, because that's where we see the language in Revelation chapter 11. We read in verse 11, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God. The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. So God is referring to this great earthquake as the second woe, and the second woe was the depart out. And we get more language concerning the depart out, what is happening with the body of Christ at that time. The pumanozo, the spirit of life, enters back into them. And that identifies ultimately with the fact that they're able to stand upon their feet and declare the gospel as they depart out of the church. And that is what is in view. And as I'm considering this word mega, I'm wondering if this word great or mega, as we see it, for instance, there was a great voice. I'm wondering if that is identifying also with a universal message to the body of Christ. Again, you know, we're at the ends of the world, and the body of Christ is responding to the message to come out of her, my people, and they have responded. And some people, of course, are still in the church that maybe some of God's elect, and when they become born again, they will hear that message, they will hear that great voice, and they too will respond and come out. And so I haven't tested that, but I'm going to endeavor on testing that word great again over the course of the next week, and maybe we'll talk a little more about that word great next Bible study. But anyway, the earthquake, we read, for instance, in Mark chapter 13, verse 8, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Now, nation against nation is family against family. This is identifying, I think, with the churches rising up against each other. After all, the kingdom of Satan is beside itself. It's against itself. And now Satan has taken over the churches. So we should expect to see that they are beside themselves, that so that they rise up against each other. But it also says kingdom against kingdom. And there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, and the kingdom of Satan has risen up against the kingdom of God. And there shall be earthquakes in various places or diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles, and these are the beginnings of sorrows. So God has given us the picture of the beginning of the Great Tribulation and telling us that there are going to be troubles and famines, and there's going to be earthquakes in various places. And the idea of an earthquake is the shaking of the land. The judgment ultimately is in what is in view, but buildings fall in the process. We do know that the Lord says in this place, pointing and specifically to the corporate body. Let's look at that, Matthew 24. We read after the Lord had departed in verse 1, and the Lord went out and departed from the temple. So he departed from the Old Testament Israel, the corporate body, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. This word buildings is the word okidome, okidome. I think it's pronounced okidome. And every place we find this word, it's used less than 20 times, if I remember, in the Bible. And every place we find this word, it always identifies with the building up of the body of Christ. And so here is the only place where it is referred to as a literal building, from the standpoint that the disciples are looking at a literal buildings, literal temples. He departed from the temple, his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And the Lord immediately took this into a parable, and immediately they understood. And the Lord said, and Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left in this place one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now this word here is the word hode, and it means exactly that, in this place. There shall not be left here, where? In this place. One stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So the question becomes, what place is it? Is it the mountain that he is on? And that's not the answer. The answer is the focus of what the disciples have brought unto Jesus, talking about the temples. In the temples, in the corporate body, in the corporate buildings, in the place where the people are called by his name. In that place, there'll not be left one stone upon another. And we know, as we look into the Bible, God is not concerned with the physical stones of the buildings. He's concerned with the spiritual stones. We are living stones built up for a temple, for a dwelling place of the Lord. And those are the stones that will not be left one upon another. And, you know, when we read the Bible and we study the Bible, we edify, we build up, we okidome. The word okidome is the word to build up, to edify. And it is to build up the body of Christ. And one stone is placed upon another, and we have a picture of a dwelling place, a temple. And God is giving us that picture to look into the mind's eye to see the parable, the idea of the spiritual body, the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, the construction of the body of Christ, takes place by the preaching of the gospel, line upon line and precept upon precept. And since the gospel is no longer going forward, because there are now famines in the land, and the gospel is being pinched off, and eventually we have the focus on the fifth trumpet, which gives us that picture of great darkness that comes upon the earth. The bottomless pit is open, Satan is loosed. And at that point, it becomes a universal thing. There is darkness in the land, and there is not one stone upon another that has not been thrown down. And that is what is in view here. It is a picture of the construction of the body of Christ is no longer taking place. The fact that the body of Christ is not edifying itself in love, and that focus is on the preaching of the Word of God. There is no edification. There is no building up. There is no edifying. And so that is the picture of what takes place in the earthquake. Is not one stone is left upon another. Everything is knocked down. Now, we read about this mega earthquake, and that might be the final earthquake, the final blow onto the corporate body, from the standpoint of them becoming totally desolate. Even though the true gospel was not going forward for a time in the church. The body of Christ was still in it until they were taken out. We read of that language in Revelation 11. And so when they're taken out, then the body of Christ has been moved out of its place, and then there is a mega earthquake. It is complete, 100%. It is universal. It is throughout the entire world. And I think that might be the picture that might be in view when we look at this word, great, mega, or megas, earthquake. But again, I just come to realize that possibility of its meaning just recently, and I haven't had a chance to check it out, but it's something I'm proposing for others might want to start searching the scriptures to see if that is the case. I don't recall seeing that word often to begin with. So judgment comes upon the corporate body. Mountains are moved, high places are moved, islands are moved out of its place, buildings are destroyed. Picture of earthquakes, spiritual picture, picture of earthquakes. In Psalms chapter 18, we read in verse 6, "In my distress I called upon Jehovah and cried unto God, unto my God. He heard my voice out of the temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth." He was angered. Judgment is in view here. We see the picture of this great earthquake again, and the shaking, which gives us, I think, the picture of the fifth trumpet, possibly, in Isaiah 14, verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast saith in thy heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And so when he takes that seat in the temple, this is a picture of that sixth trumpet that is in the fifth trumpet that is in view, Satan being loosed, and he takes a seat. "I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble?" Is this the man who has caused the great earthquake, to make the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the houses of his prisoners? And so this word "world" in this case is identifying with the corporate church, he has made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities, and the cities also is another picture, a figurative language of the corporate church. So he has destroyed the cities thereof and opened not the house of the prisoners, prevented the gospel from going forth. In Amos chapter 1, we read in verse 1, the words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Josiah, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the inhabitants of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither." And so 2 years before the earthquake is what is in focus of this vision being seen. We see, as we look into Ezekiel, the fifth trumpet in view, in chapter 38, verse 18, "And it shall come to pass the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel." And I know when we were looking at 1994, One of the verses we were looking at is Amos chapter 1, verse 1, which talks about 2 years before the earthquake. And it was exactly 2 years. It was September. Might even have been September 6th. I don't remember precisely, but it was the very first week of September when we started considering that 1994 might be the end of the world. And then we found this verse, Amos chapter 1, which talks about the vision being seen 2 years before the earthquake. And that may still hold because there was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake when Satan was loosed. And there was a great earthquake when the body of Christ departs out and is removed. So we see these two great earthquakes. Although they do say use the word great here, and I haven't looked at the Greek here, and again, I'm going to look at this word great a little more carefully and comment on it maybe next study, as I mentioned. But the word great is being used here in Ezekiel 38. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. In Zechariah chapter 14, we read in verse 1, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Jehovah go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the days of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem in the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley in the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Israel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye flee from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to Jehovah, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that in evening time that it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go up out of Jerusalem, from half of them towards the former sea and half towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And Jehovah shall be king over all the earth in the day. In that day shall there be one Lord, one Jehovah, and his name one. But anyway, the reference here of this earthquake and focusing in on the days of Uzziah, and the language of the days of Uzziah is really focusing in and giving us information concerning what is going to take place at the end of the world during the Great Tribulation, the days of Uzziah. In Jeremiah chapter 8, we read in verse 13, I will surely consume them, saith Jehovah, and there shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. And the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defensed cities, and let us be silent there. For Jehovah our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold trouble. The snorting of his hoofs was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of the strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and all those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices, among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith Jehovah. So the time when the whole land trembled, Again, the idea of an earthquake is in view, the idea of judgment. In Matthew chapter 8, we read in verse 23, and this word earthquake in this particular verse is translated tempest. The word tempest is the very same word as the word earthquakes that will be found in various places. Matthew 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But it is interesting. We know that this idea of a tempest brings us, and the waves of the sea and the waves roaring. This is a picture of the great tribulation that God gives us, I think, in the Gospel of Luke. And here we see this picture that God gives us of this great tempest in the sea, and it makes the waves covers where the ship was covered with the water from the waves. Luke chapter 21, we read in verse 8, and he said, Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near, go ye not after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, this word commotion is the very same word that God uses for the word earthquake. Wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. So the idea of commotions, identifying with the earthquake, is a very interesting picture. In Revelation chapter 6, we read of the great earthquake in verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, and she is shaken of a mighty wind. And so here is the being picture of being shaken by a mighty wind, and there was a great earthquake. This seventh seal has given us the information of what takes place during the fifth trumpet, the loosing of Satan. The language is the same. The sun becomes black as sackcloth. The sun becomes darkened. The moon becomes as blood. It becomes judgment. The stars of heaven fell onto the earth. A picture of judgment. Even as a fig tree casteth forth her timely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Revelation chapter 8, we read in verse 5, and again here is the picture of the earthquake, focusing in, I believe, on the sixth trumpet here. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunders and lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, this is a picture of the beginning of the Great Tribulation. And God is identifying that there were voices and thunders and lightnings and a great and an earthquake. Not the word great earthquake, I'm sorry, but an earthquake. Interesting that God puts the word voices there and thunders and lightning. You know, all of this is a picture of judgment. Particularly the thunders is a picture of judgment. And I think lightning is seen as a picture of judgment also. But God is putting the word voices in there. And the judgment comes by the declaring of God's word. That's the judgment that is coming upon the corporate body. In Revelation chapter 16, we read in verse 17, And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. That is Judgment Day itself. It is done. and there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And this earthquake that is in view is identifying with Judgment Day itself. And God does use the word great here again. So in this case here, this great earthquake is identifying with a different time period as the other great earthquake. But nevertheless, it is a great earthquake. God uses the word mega. Immediately, Matthew 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And so the sign of the Son of Man, we've done a study on this, and it is available up on thebibleonly.net for anybody who might want to go up there and listen to it, and if they have any correction on it, they can, you know, bring it to my attention here. But the conclusion that had come up with the sign of the Son of Man ultimately is a picture of the body of Christ coming up out of the earth. We related the language that Jesus gave us concerning the first sign, and then gave us language of that first sign in another fashion, as the Son of Man 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the earth is a picture of the church, and the heart identifies with what is being taught in the heart of the earth, and coming up out of the heart of the earth. But anyway, anybody interested in that study, they can go up and listen to it, and then we can talk about it if anybody finds a problem with the conclusion. But that's what's in view here in Matthew 24:29. God has given us the picture of the sign of the Son of Man, and he's telling us that this is when that sign takes place. It's when the sun is dark, after the sun is dark and the moon does not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, powers of heaven shall be shaken. That's going to come to pass. That is the loosing of Satan. And then, after that happens, and then, the next event, trumpet number 6, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now they may not recognize what they're seeing, but nevertheless the preaching of the gospel, and in this case judgment, the meat of this season, come out of her, my people, they will see. Now this also could be identifying with the saved seeing the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. The clouds of heaven, of course, is the body of Christ. And this language could be identifying with the saved people seeing and responding, and fear fell upon them who saw them. We read that language in Revelation concerning this very same event. So they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his messengers, that's the body of Christ, with a great sound of a trumpet. That's the word of God declaring the judgment. The trumpeting and the thunder is identifying with the judgment that is in view. There are seven trumpets being blown. The sound of the trumpet, judgment, the warning sound. So the sound of a great trumpet. He sends his messengers with the sound of a great trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. Very interesting picture, the four winds. We know we see in Revelation also the picture of the four messengers, and ultimately that's the messengers from hell, the messengers of Satan, holding back the four winds, and they're commanded to hold it back until the Lord tells them that they could loose it. And that happens at the very same time after the body of Christ is taken out, then they are loosed. And the language of the loosing of the four winds also gives us the very same picture, for instance, of drying up the great river Euphrates, the removing of the gospel completely, the removing of the body of Christ, and so on. So again, this is all language, the sounding of the trumpet, the sending of the messengers, gathering together the elects from the four winds from one end of the heavens to the other. And then he gives us a parable. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. when his branches yet tender and put forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. And so it is this, the part out, the meat of this season. Come out of her, my people, recognizing the harlot, recognizing that you know, the wicked is being revealed, the Judases in the churches are being revealed, the son of perdition. And this is how we are to know, when you shall see all these things, then you know that it is near, even at the doors. That's Judgment Day itself. And that's the next event that we're waiting for, is Judgment Day itself. And we are now looking at a time period, we just come to pass over the past year or two, I think in the beginning of 2004 is when we started to look very deep and hard at a time when the Lord may return, and considering these things. And I think we might be able to identify that with the cock crowing. But anyway, that's another study altogether. The heavens shall be shaken. And that takes place when the body of Christ is removed. Come out of her, my people. All right, that brings us to the end of looking at the earthquake. And again, the earthquake identifies with judgment. Buildings are knocked down, not one stone left upon another. The earth is shaken. Judgment has come. And again, it gives us the picture of the fact that the gospel is no longer going forward in the corporate body. The next word we're going to look at is the word clouds. And what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to hold off, we'll just cut this study short, and we'll pick up on clouds on our next study. But we're going to look a little more on our next study before we do pick up on clouds. At this word great, I'm not too sure. I haven't considered the word great, the word megas, when I was studying earthquakes. And again, it just came to my realization that the Great Tribulation is identifying with the idea of it being universal, worldwide. Every church comes under this Great Tribulation. All right, anyway, I'll end it there. And again, like I said, we'll pick up on clouds. Anybody have any corrections or comments? Feel free to raise your hand or pick up the mic.